broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Booth 61, featuring movers and shakers on the Atlanta tech scene, organizations serving the tech market, and the inspired people who lead them. Now here's your host, Ricky Steele.
Welcome and thank you for visiting Booth 61. I am Ricky Steele, and I passionately serve as the Chief Development Officer for Hunter Technical Resources, Atlanta's premier IT staffing firm. Very excited today that Jess Jones, also with Hunter Technical Resources, is here, and she'll be live tweeting during the entire program. We have a very exciting show for you today, and we're going to jump right in, but first I want to take a half a minute to introduce my friend and our producer, Mr. Kevin Finn. Kevin's a master at the control board, and he's also a very accomplished host. He hosts a number of shows here on Business Radio X. Kevin, how goes it today, my friend?
I'm doing good. It's football season, Ricky, so I can't be doing bad, and I know you're pretty happy the Dogs won this weekend.
It was my first time in the stadium since 2001, and I attended that game because it was the last game he attended, and my son got a scholarship that was given by the athletic department. So
that's huge.
After my father died about 4 months later, I just haven't had the heart to go. But mm-hmm. I went for a great game, saw South Carolina, and it was fantastic. So
definitely.
Anyway, big fun, but thanks for being here. And Jess Jones just handed me a little sheet of paper and says, if you want to follow her and listen to the show live, you can pick that up at Jess, at J. J-E-S-S, J-J-O-N-E-S, so that's actually A, two J's, E-S-S, two J's, O-N-E-S. And I think we also have Laura from United Way, Laura Brooks. Laura, what is your handle?
At
U-W-G-A Lauren. At U-W-G-A.Lauren. So both of them will be tweeting today and you can listen, or if you're listening live, then you already know that, and you can pick up anything else they're sharing as well. Today I'm honored to have two very special people. As many people know, our goal here on Booth 61 is to build community and allow the rising tide to lift all the boats. And I think the two guests I have here today, one has been doing it most of her entire life here in Atlanta, and Carl has been doing it for quite some time, as he's fairly a newcomer to our city, but he's doing a great job and having a great impact. Today I have Miss Becky Blaylock in the studio. Becky has been a friend for 15-plus years at least. She's one of the people that has been a mentor to me and to so many people in our industry. She was the first female CIO of the Southern Company, and she's been breaking barriers for women executives and all executives her entire career. Becky is also the author of a brand-new book that will be released on October 3rd called DARE. She's going to talk a little bit more about that later on, and you can get it at Amazon today, pre-order it. I've had the privilege of reading the original manuscript, and I promise you this is going to be a huge success and a must-read by everyone in our audience today. Becky is someone that everyone knows, everyone loves, and everyone respects in our industry, and it's such an honor to have her with me today. Carl Jennings has been a friend since this year's Digital Ball. Carl had just joined the United Way and the Digital Ball, as many people know. We've talked about many different weeks here. But Carl was at the Digital Ball, and we talked about United Way with some of the guests there because the CIO community is also the mainstay behind the Digital Ball. Carl is a Canadian who moved down to the University of Tennessee on a track and field scholarship, and Carl was a huge star. He's got a big ring from the national championship track and field from 1991, if I recall. Carl's also an Olympian athlete and has held a number of records in the United States over the years. Carl, as I mentioned, is now an executive at United Way here in Atlanta. Welcome to Booth 61, Becky and Carl.
Thanks, Ricky. It's good to be here.
Thank you, Ricky.
It was very exciting to have both of you here. You've both been good friends, one for a long, long time and one for a short period of time, but I really am honored to be with you. I'm going to ask you a series of questions that either one or both of you are invited to answer at any point, and later I'll probably ask some that are more directed to you. But before we get started, how about each of you giving the audience maybe a two and a half, 3 minute overview of your career and what got you to this point today? And why don't we start with ladies first?
Well, Ricky, as you know, I had a wonderful, fabulous 33-year career at Georgia Power and Southern Company and retired there 2 years ago as the Chief Information Officer. Since that time, I have created my own consulting company, and I'm very busy doing IT consulting work for a company called Tech Mahindra. And then also, I have written a book in the last 2 years, and I hope very soon to roll that out. And have continued my passion of community service in Atlanta, and I also serve on the board of the Electric Power Research Institute. So I'm still very involved in the utility industry as well.
That doesn't sound like retired. You retired when you slow down, isn't that conceptually how that works?
I don't think people retire anymore. I think they go to phase two, and I'm in phase two right now.
That's great. Carl?
Thanks, Ricky. So my path is a little different. I ran track and field professionally for a number of years for Canada, and after that, my master's is in higher education. So I was doing student programming at Georgia State recently, and the opportunity to work for United Way came about, and I ended up applying and receiving the job. So I am working with the IT community, trying to improve people's lives through fundraising efforts.
Well, United Way is very important in our city, and we're real excited about being involved in this year's United Way IT initiative, and we're going to talk a lot more about that. Why don't we jump in? Again, these questions are very open-ended, and one of you can jump in, the other can jump back in, and we can go back and forth. And since I've been involved with this campaign for, 8 or 9 years on and off, I may throw in a thing or two as we go through the process. What's the origin of United Way as a whole at the big organization, and then more importantly, here in the city of Atlanta?
Great. Well, so United Way in the city of Atlanta started back in 1905 with Joseph Logan, who was a lawyer. And if anyone remembers the ice storm of a few years ago, well, in 1905, Atlanta had a similar ice storm, and many people were shut in. Joseph and some of his colleagues went out to the community for those that did not have the ability to get food and water and things of that nature, and started providing those services. And that was the first time that the organization, that people came together under one umbrella to help the community. And from there, the Associated Charities was formed.
Yeah, and what's interesting about Associated Charities is that this is an organization that taking from what happened in 1905, decided they were going to raise some money to proactively help the community. So in 1911, the president of the then Chamber of Commerce, F.J. Paxton, convened 50 prominent citizens in Atlanta. And Ivan Allen Sr., who many streets are named after in Atlanta, he actually led the campaign, and they raised a total of $6,000, which I'm sure back then was a lot of money. And we've gone from $6,000 to last year's campaign, which raised almost $80 million to serve needs in Atlanta.
Pretty amazing. Yes. 6,000 to 80 million, zow. Well, how does United Way in Atlanta stack up against the United Way campaigns across the country? Because I know Atlanta is a giving community, and of course there's a lot bigger cities all across the country, but how do we stack up as a community in the United Way family?
That is awesome questions. Well, United Way, in terms of size, we are not the largest in terms of size, but in terms of money that is raised, as you said, the Atlanta community really steps up. We go between two and three. The number one United Way is in Minnesota with Microsoft, and then we float as two or three, depending on the year and the metrics, in terms of the amount of money raised within the community.
So Seattle would be number one as the headquarters of Microsoft. And
right.
All the bazillions of dollars they've made out there, and then after that, a couple of other cities would vie with Atlanta just about for the title of two or three.
Between us and Twin Cities.
That's cool.
Yes.
That's very cool. Well, that shows the generosity of the Southern spirit for sure.
Very much so.
What's the overall goal for this year's United Way campaign, and how much of that are we trying to raise from those folks who are in the in the technology community?
Great. So we will not announce our official goal until September 18th. We are partnering with IBM this year to do something different in terms of our kickoff. We are inviting everybody to go to our main website, unitedwayatlanta.org, and register to join us on this virtual kickoff. There we will have opportunities for people to tweet, to talk about their involvement in the United Way campaign. We'll also have prize packages for those that go online and register. So we are really appreciative of our partner IBM in assisting us with something very new to what we're doing in this United Way to ensure that everyone in our community has the opportunity to really participate in a kickoff of this size. And so once that kickoff happens, our goal will be announced.
Becky, do you think technology-wise got a goal for your campaign? Because you were actually co-chairing this with our dear friend Jay Farah, who's the CIO at the American Cancer Association. So what you got kind of a back of your mind goal?
Well, last year this committee raised $7 million
wow.
as a part of the campaign. So the technology sector is absolutely vital to helping United Way meet its overall goal. And our goal has not been set for the year. We have only completed one of our major calls. Two of the significant companies that give in this category are AT&T and IBM. We absolutely could not meet our goal if it weren't for the charity and the great support we get from those two organizations. And what's wonderful about it is they make this fun inside their companies. They've made it a part of their culture where their employees go out and do car washes, you know, have bake sales. Their executives, been in events where they allow themselves to get dunked in water. They really leverage this giving opportunity inside the company as a part of their culture. And they are significant contributors to the campaign as a result of that. Not only do the companies give a huge campaign contribution, but their employees individually do a tremendous amount to support United Way. So they will be vital in helping us meet our goal. The other thing is that there's still tremendous opportunity to tap into some of the new technology companies. We have been so blessed in Atlanta to have a number of jobs being created in this sector. And younger companies, when they're starting off, don't necessarily have the resources to contribute beyond keeping themselves in business. But as they grow and as they become vital, and Atlanta's been a great community for that, we're hoping that they'll step to the plate and be more forthcoming with corporate contributions and getting their own employees involved and creating a legacy for the future.
Well, with the young companies especially, it's a great opportunity to get them involved early with an employee campaign so they can hear the depth and the breadth of the story of what United Way does for the city of Atlanta and then contribute at the $5 a month level. And all those contributions cumulatively, you know, can make a real nice campaign and really help take care of a lot of our folks in Atlanta who need some assistance from time to time.
Yes, absolutely, Ricky, because one of the things we want to do is try to engage these companies. And so we have a unique setup in the technology sector. We created something called IT United in 2007, and we got a lot of the key CIOs in the city involved in helping us target a lot of the technology companies. And it's been highly successful because we have events where we invite a lot of the companies who do contribute to come to special events that are invitation only with these key CIOs. And they share information at these events that you won't find anywhere else. The CIOs talk about where they're going to be spending money in the next year, what kind of activities they look for when they're looking for a partner. And because it's a very limited audience, there's a wonderful opportunity for anybody that comes who's a contributor to United Way to network with and build a relationship with these key CIOs so that hopefully down the road you can do business with them and make more money and give more money to United Way.
Yeah, that's a win-win for everybody. I want to dig into that event a lot deeper, but before we do that, ask either one of you, and Carl should have some statistics for us, I would think. Why should someone consider the United Way as a good place to invest their money in our community?
Well, one of the things that United Way is uniquely positioned to do is we bring people together. We bring corporations, we bring government agencies, we bring nonprofit agencies together under one umbrella to really drive the needle to create social change. This past year, there are about 7,000 individuals that don't have a home. They're sleeping on the streets of Atlanta. And with United Way programming, we were able to place 700 of those families in permanent housing. It is great to have the ability to feed a child and shelter someone for a day, but United Way really looks for organizations that are really moving the needle so that these people can actually transition into permanent housing and become productive citizens. So our goal is to really focus on how do we get all these community members together for an important cause to move the needle in the areas of health, income, homelessness, and education.
Yeah, Ricky, the needs in Atlanta are great. What I don't think most Atlantans who are employed and have a job think about is that 32% of the children in Metro Atlanta under the age of 18 live in families whose income is less than $19,000 a year. And And United Way is very focused on trying to help in that regard. If you look at education, you know, if a child doesn't read well by third grade, that child's more likely to be arrested by age 18 than to graduate from high school. And every day, 27 Greater Atlanta teens drop out of school. That's 10,000 a year. And if you look at income, 40% of Greater Atlanta families are classified as working poor. And they have to make trade-off decisions every day about paying for rent, utilities, or food. It doesn't take but, you know, one misstep happening in their lives, and basically they can be bankrupt overnight. You know, if you look at health, more than 65,000 Greater Atlantans lack access to affordable quality health care and rely on their basic care. They go to the emergency room, which is probably the most expensive form of health care they can have. And, you know, there's 7,500 chronically homeless people in Greater Atlanta. 1,300 of them are veterans. So every day, United Way has a number called 211 where you can call if you need help. And every day, 750 people are calling that number asking for help. And so it takes resources to answer those needs and to address these kinds of chronic issues. And I think that, you know, if you are very blessed in your life, it's hard to think about the fact that there's so many people that are in need. And what I'll tell you, the reason why I have always supported United Way is that for many years I was on the board of the YWCA of Greater Atlanta. And most of our funding came from the United Way. As board members, we tried very hard to have events and raise money, but, you know, it's very hard. If it were not for United Way, we would not have been able to deliver the services that we provide to the community. And what impressed me about United Way is every year they would come in and do a thorough assessment of the organization. And I got to tell you, as a board member of the Y, we were very nervous about that because we didn't want our funding to go away. We knew that we had to demonstrate that we were earning the dollars that they were investing in us. But as a contributor to United Way, it gave me great comfort because I knew that every dollar I gave to United Way wasn't going to some fly-by-night organization that wasn't truly focused on delivering the needs in our community. I knew that when I gave a dollar to United Way, it was going to truly change and help the life of somebody in this community. So that's why I passionately believe in and support United Way.
Well, I kind of want to ask a follow-up question on those lines because you shared some of these numbers. Having been involved a while, I knew some of the numbers, but you shared a lot of the numbers you just shared a second ago when we had lunch earlier today, and some of those just blow me away. The fact that 700 folks are calling the hotline every single day, that's a lot of phone calls. And for everyone that knows about the hotline, there's probably 10 times that don't even know to call. So the need is very, very great. And so really we want to ask you, or maybe we talked about a little bit earlier, about your retirement, in quotes. You've chaired the United
phase
Way.
Retirement.
You chaired the United Way effort, I think, the very first time as the organization was really getting off IT United back in 2006 or 7, and again, retiring from Southern Company and writing your new book. I know you're going to be traveling around the country over the next several months. You're a very, very busy person. So why do you personally stay active in the United Way effort?
Because I believe in the mission. I believe that this is an organization that probably does more to help give back to people in our community than any other organization in the city. And if you're going to invest time, this is a great place to do it. And so that's why I do it.
Well, on October the 16th, this audience is going to have the privilege of having you in this studio for one solid hour while we talk about the release of your new book, Dare. But before we get to there, I wanted to just maybe ask you, what are some of the lessons you share in the book about being involved in the community through networking, your corporate contributions? And is this something that you think is important and valuable? And I assume, well, maybe you did or did not write something about that in the book, but could you share that with the audience?
No, I absolutely do write about it in the book, Ricky, because I believe you have to give to get. That those of us that work in corporate America, you know, we have jobs, we have an income, we have so much to be grateful for just for living in the United States. And I have just had such great blessings that have come my way from having worked in the nonprofit arena. You know, I coach young women and I tell them that some of the same leadership skills that you need to be in a senior leadership position in a corporation are the things you can learn and get experience much quicker by volunteering with a nonprofit. You know, you've got to have a budget if you work for a nonprofit. You have projects that have to be done. You've got to lead and manage and motivate people. And sometimes in the nonprofit community, it's even harder because you're not working with people who are getting paid. You're working with volunteers. And I say that except that I think when people are passionate about something, sometimes they are easier to lead. But I really encourage people, if you're not involved, to go out and get involved. Because United Way, certainly we want people to contribute their finances, but we also need people to go out and volunteer in the community to help address some of these issues. And if you're working in a major corporation, you are a truly blessed individual. When I read these statistics, this is something that you probably don't worry about on a regular basis. But if you have a lot, and if you want more, the best way to do it is to give back. And some of the other people that I have met through the nonprofit community are just phenomenal. I will tell you, some of the best friends I have, people I probably wouldn't have met if I just stayed inside the four walls of my corporation, are people that I met through volunteering, like-minded individuals out in the community. And so I really talk about that a lot in my last chapter of my book, that giving back should really be at the top of your agenda.
So that's amazing, or an amazing. I say that amazing because I know you, and you are amazing. But the fact that you've dedicated an entire last chapter of the book to that, rather than waiting until October the 16th for people to hear a lot more about this, if they wanted to buy a copy of your book today to be delivered on October the 3rd when it hits the national bookstores, how would they do that? Can they go to BeckyBlaylock.com?
Absolutely. So, and they'll have lots of other information there they can tap into as well.
Well, I urge everyone, go to Becky Blaylock, BlaylockBlaclock.com, and get to know Becky as a person, but also get to know what Becky stands for and believes in. And I think not only will your life be touched, but you'll be a better person as a result. And again, this book is not a book for women executives. This book is for every human being on the face of God's earth. You will be a better person having read it. And the leadership principles are unprecedented. So we're going to spend a lot more time on October 16th talking about that.
Ricky, I'm going to put you on my payroll step. Make you part of my PR team.
I would be honored to have that job. Carl. You're a successful athlete, both at the University of Tennessee, also for your home country of Canada. Why did you choose the United Way IT program to be your vocation?
Well, I've had the opportunity to travel the world, meet a lot of different people, and the needs are always great. And so when you think about an organization that can bring so many people together to really focus on educating youth and making sure that young people are eligible and ready to get into college, and are you looking into situations where babies are born healthy? These are the type of plights that so many people are facing, and like Becky said, we just don't know about it. We don't experience it. I think this particular interview is great that it's happening on 9/11, and we're remembering 12 years ago that, you know, we went through such a traumatic experience. Well, what organization better to really highlight than the United Way? Because it's the resources that we put in together that gave us the ability to respond to such a crisis. And you just never know when that's going to hit you, when that situation is going to happen to you. And we need to all come together and step up and do something better and leave our legacy and leave our mark. And United Way is really the best place to do that. And so that is why I chose to work here. And I think they liked me as well. So I was able to get the position out of a lot of other people. So I just enjoy it. It's been really great.
Well, after coming aboard, you were immediately signed to the technology community.
Yes.
And, you know, we got to meet you at the Digital Ball back in, I guess, May. What is it like working in the technology community? You're not a technologist by trade.
I'm not.
But yet you're working with some of the most powerful people in our community, the CIOs, the Becky Blaylocks, the John Searles, the Bill Van Curens, and the list goes on and on. We'll talk about some of the folks going to be on a panel in the next few minutes. But what's it like working with these powerful, powerful folks?
Well, it's an amazing experience. They are some of the busiest people I've ever encountered. But they really make time to answer my questions. They've really done a great job in terms of helping me adjust to what it looks like to be a technology firm in Atlanta and how to really succeed. And they make time for the United Way. very interesting to be around people that have that much clout and that much power in the Atlanta community, and just realize that they too have passions and they serve passionately and they give passionately and they really get our mission across to their colleagues. They're not afraid to go to their peers and say, hey, look, I'm part of the United Way. This is what we're doing. This is why it's important. And this is why I believe that you should get involved as well. They're definitely a great, great group of people to work with. And I think I'm just blessed to have the opportunity to interact with such a stellar group.
Well, as I was ad-libbing and coming up with some of the names off the top of my head, one that hit me the second I finished and directed the question to you was the great Joe Serber. Joe is such a wonderful young fella, CIO at Atlanta Gas Light Company, and I think he's chaired this maybe two or three years over the last six or seven or eight, and Joe's a fine leader at the Atlanta Gas Light Company, and he's still involved in the campaign, and I'm sure we'll probably see him at the event on the 16th. But anyway, when did Atlanta create the United Way IT Initiative? If I recall, it was in 2006 or 2007, that neighborhood, but I know Becky was involved, so I kind of throw this question out to both of you, but why did we create something specific for technology, and how is our campaign unique to the rest of the United Way campaign?
You know, Ricky, I began working on the campaign in 2007, and at that time we didn't have a lot of the CIOs involved. And I will tell you, the CIOs probably are second only to the CEOs in terms of being engaged in this community and really focused on trying to address needs and give back. And so we decided that we were going to try to target more CIOs to come on board as a part of a team and to target calling on these companies together. And, you know, there's not a soul that we asked to join us that said no. So the other thing that's very nice about CIOs is they enjoy spending time together, because I got to tell you, it's a tough job. And nobody really understands a lot of the terminology in the world that you live in except another CIO. And the issues that you deal with are pretty universal. So an opportunity to come together, do good, and have an opportunity to be together and share best practices was really a great opportunity for everybody. So we decided, you know, what can we do to better engage technology companies? Because it really was very shocking to us to see that AT&T and IBM were great givers. And then when you really got beyond that, we weren't getting anything given back to this community from the technology sector. And yet the technology sector was doing well, was making tremendous amount of money. So we said, how can we engage some of these companies that come in that are serving our companies in being more proactive in supporting United Way? So we decided that we would have a panel. So we did a panel for the first time and invited, as I talked earlier, if you contributed to United Way or if you did an employee campaign, you could come and you could have this insider look at what our CIO is going to be spending their money on, and you would have an opportunity to get to meet them. And it ended up being highly successful, and so successful that we've continued to do it every single year, and we'll be doing it again this year. And in addition to that, we also give out a couple of awards. We began recognizing the company that gives the most in the technology sector each year. And then because, you know, smaller companies are never going to be able to give at the level that an IBM and an AT&T do, we began to have an award for the company that was new to the campaign but had made the most significant contribution. So I think it's very important to recognize people when they do step to the table and they do give and make sure that they get recognized among the broader audience. And it's been highly successful, so successful that United Way is now trying to take this concept and to duplicate it into other business segment groups and see if they can have the same success that we have.
Well, you mentioned the phone calls you've made and people that have been asked to be involved. Who are some of those folks? I know if someone will go to the United Way brand new IT initiative website that just went live this morning, you can get a shot of everybody, a photograph of everyone, as well as a link to their bios. But who are some of the folks working on the committee for you and Mr. Jay Farah at this point?
Well, Jay Farah, as you know, is fabulous. Jay is the CIO of the American Cancer
One
Society,
of the greats.
And he co-chairs this great event with me. And Could not be here with us today because he has so many other things going on. But that's the great thing about it is Jay and I can operate as a good team. When I can't be at things, he's at things, and when he can't, I'm there. But we have 11 other really major technology players who are also involved in this. Everything from people like Frank Bell, who is the founder and chairman of IntelliNet, to people that, you know, to other CIOs. Joe Serber, who has been such a staunch supporter of United Way, continues to be a part of our team, but we decided we'd give him a break this year. We'll probably bring him back next year as the chair. Lee Crump, who is the CIO and the group vice president at Rollins, is a part of this team. Cindy Tierney, who serves as the chief information officer for Velocity. Jim Schofield, who is the chief technology officer of Coca-Cola. Terry Keebaugh at IBM. Terry has been a staunch reporter, been on the campaign for as long as I can remember. Always doing so much for us. Of course, Ricky Steele, who's at Hunter Technical and the Chief Development Officer.
You got to have one rube throw in there. You got to throw in kind of a loser every once in a while.
Yeah. Ricky, you bring in a lot. We are so thrilled to have you. And then Chris Rennie, who's a Senior Vice President at AT&T. Chris has a phenomenal job over there leading all of their engineering worldwide. Marva Baylor, who is with IBM and is one of their chief executives in the Southeast. Tracy Crump, who actually is the executive director of the Georgia CIO Leadership Association. And Tracy's done a phenomenal job helping us tap into all of the CIOs. And then Patty Swerk with SunTrust Bank, who's the vice president of global outsourcing. So you can see we have a very key committee who's very involved and very significant players in Atlanta helping us raise this money.
That is a powerful list of folks. Leave off one, but he tries hard. But the rest of the folks, they are really the A-list players in our community. And just the chance to have access to those individuals would be worth a lot to just about anybody in our listening audience, especially technology community-wise.
Yeah, I learned a long time ago, if you're going to lead something, surround yourself with a really great team, and then you don't have to do that much. Sure. Really smart, talented people, and that's what we got here.
You and Jay have done that. This group of leaders are working on a big event coming up in October. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I think it's October 16th. What is that going to be all about?
Yeah, on October the 16th, Joe Serber's been kind enough to host us at Atlanta Gas Light, and those companies that have agreed to give at least a $5,000 corporate contribution and host an employee campaign will be invited to come to this event. And we've already secured two of Atlanta's top female CIOs. It'll be the first time we've ever done an all-female CIO panel. And we have Janet Sherlock, who is the CIO at Carter's, who is committed to be there, and Jean Holly at Brambles. I'll be there as well because I'll be out selling my books, and we're also I don't want to mention another name just yet because we still have one surprise person that we're hoping is going to be on the panel as well. And in addition to hosting this event in October, there'll be another similar event with other CIOs, and that'll be sometime in the spring.
So why is this event on October 16th so important for the community?
Well, it's a time for a lot of tech companies to come together and really understand the needs of the community and how best to not only work with each other, but work with United Way in terms of creating some sustainable change in our community and how they can best get involved. And like you read a powerful list of committee members in the community, and there's no other place that you're going to get access to such a dynamic group of individuals in such an intimate setting. And so it's not only important to understand how to get involved with your dollars and with your talent and with your time, it's also a good place for you to make connections, especially if you're not out and about in the IT community, or if you're looking to just get more connected with not only your career but with your within United Way. This is a great place to meet these people.
So you talked a few minutes ago about who the CIOs are on the panel. We've got two that we've announced, and we know that there's another one that's going to be coming on board in addition to Becky. So there'll be four very powerful female senior technology leadership folks on the panel and sharing their thoughts. Who else is going to be in the audience that day, and how would somebody get into the audience if they wanted to be there? And you know, this is going to be a big event.
Well, you know, all of the people that I've mentioned on the committee will be there.
So you can meet every single,
well.
Every
so
single
you
one
can
of
meet
them.
Every one of these people if you are a United Way supporter.
That'd be worth the price of admission right there alone.
That's right. And then we'll, of course, also be inviting other key CIOs in Atlanta to be there as well, just to be there for the networking opportunity for the people who have stepped to the plate and are contributing to United Way.
What are the criteria again? You shared it briefly a second ago, but if I was a company and I wanted to meet some of the biggest names in our industry in a more intimate setting than a 1,000-person banquet, CIO of the Year type event or what have you, what would I have to do to get there if I wasn't already doing the United Way campaign?
Well, we encourage donations of $5,000 or above and or running an employee giving campaign, just to have the conversation, to get it started, just to see how your company can really contribute and make an impact on our local community.
So I don't have to be a AT&T or IBM as global corporations that have been so instrumental in helping us. I don't have to be a huge company. I could have a company of 20 people, run an employee campaign, and be able to come to an event and have access to these guys?
Yes, yes. Come on. We accept all and everyone. The only way we can really reach our goal is to ensure that everyone in our community is involved in making a difference.
Well, again, having been involved for many years, I know of companies who personally, one person in the company or the company itself, wrote a check for $5,000, met someone that day and received that $5,000 back with an X return in the next year. And that's pretty amazing when you can do something like that. But even if you don't want to write the check for $5,000, don't have the $5,000, if you do a campaign and you have 20 or 30 people and the United Way comes out and does a campaign and gets everybody involved, whatever the contributions are, it all goes towards it, and then you're able to attend the event and have this kind of networking experience. Is that kind of the way it goes?
That is exactly how it goes, Ricky. Exactly.
Well, I know that give a little another shout-out to a company that I have known for a long time and a chief executive officer who has done a tremendous amount for United Way, and that's Michael Cogan and the good folks at Definition 6. Michael runs a campaign every year, and this is not a huge, you know, $100 million or $100 billion corporation. This is a local company started here in Atlanta, and yet I think if we look at the numbers that have been raised, the money in the past, Michael's generally, in Definition 6, is at the top of the Tier 2 group, or you know, when you drop the IBM and the Fortune 500s, at the Fortune 500s, Michael's companies are generally at the top of the list or close to it, isn't it?
Definition 6 is an awesome company. Their facilities are amazing. Their people are great. Michael really believes in what we do at United Way. So we appreciate his support. We appreciate our ability to come in and speak to his group. And they're busy, but they make time to not only give of their dollars, but they give of their time as well. They volunteer, and they're just a great group of people. And then, so just a few people raise a lot of money.
And then Michael personally matches it, I think, and makes a significant contribution as well. So great shout out to my friend Michael Cogan, yes. Jeff Katz, and the wonderful folks at Definition 6. Becky mentioned this a little earlier, but I want to go into a little more detail so people can maybe know how they could go about winning one of these awards. We give away two awards at the event every year and kind of explain the difference between the two of them so that a company that is not IBM or AT&T, how would they win one of these awards and be recognized in front of their peers?
Well, if you are a smaller company, we recognize the company who has had the greatest change in their campaign. So it may be that you didn't give anything. You're brand new to the campaign, and you've contributed a significant amount. It may be that you were already giving to United Way as a smaller company, but you did something unique that doubled the giving at your company. And so either way, you would be able to qualify for that award we give away in the smaller category.
Anything to add, Carl?
That covers it. Our companies, really, we recognize those that first time to our campaign and they give a significant amount, or they just do something unique in their campaign. And we're really trying to push people to really get involved in a volunteer basis. We really believe that if you and your company, if employees come out and actually do volunteer work and touch the work and see what we're doing and see how the needle is being moved, the dollars will follow. And it's really important for someone to go out there and touch someone's life, because you never know what experience and what the changes you have when you go out there and meet someone and understand their story and their struggle, and that you have made a difference by just spending an hour of your time with them.
And, you know, small companies don't have a lot of resources to go out and do PR kinds of things, but the things that winning these awards are something that actually give you something to go out and talk about that differentiates you in the marketplace, not just around your product, but say you're a company that really cares. I know as a CIO, I always paid attention to companies that were giving back. That's who I really wanted to do business with. And United Way has a very good, very sophisticated website now. And so these awards are listed on that website, and it's something that as you go out and you're doing business development, and you're a small company, you're trying to differentiate yourself, it's something you can really brag about.
I've heard you and most every CIO I've ever heard on one of the panels all say the same thing. They look to that as a kind of a starting point. If you're a new company trying to penetrate a larger corporation, that's really kind of your badge of entry. That's how you get into the door, by the CIO knowing that you're supporting United Way and other great causes that they believe in as well. So personally, I want to encourage each and every person listening today, if you're in a company that's not doing United Way campaign, contact Carl, and you'll get signed up real quickly to be involved. That'll give you an opportunity to reach the levels. It'll get you in the October 16th event. But I guess, how would I find more information overall about the IT United campaign, especially what my company has to do to make those contributions? Because if they didn't listen closely earlier and missed that part of the broadcast, how can they find out everything they need to know about United Way IT Initiative and the event on the 16th of October?
Great. We would encourage you to go to our website. It is United Way Atlanta or UnitedWayATL.org, or you can go to www.unitedwayatlanta/itunited.org.
Or maybe even Google itunited.org and yes. And find out more about the campaign. You know, I just looked over my shoulder and 40 minutes has gone by, and I thought we'd been here about 4 or 5 minutes, and so we're getting close to the wrap-up stage. But, Carl, what else would you like to share with the audience before we kind of call this an afternoon?
I really just want to thank you for the opportunity to actually share our story and really share what IT United is doing within our community. The IT industry in Atlanta, I've come to learn, is very fast-moving, very giving, and there's just so much need in STEM research, in STEM education. There's just so much need out there that you can always give back to, whether it be with your dollars or with your time. United Way does a tremendous job of bringing people together. Tremendous networks are formed by joining United Way. There's just so much you can do, and so skies are the limit. We're always looking for people to join our volunteer boards that will help us decide where our money is going to be invested in the community. We're always looking for advocates to really push our agenda and our initiative forward, and there's so many ways that we can use your talent and your gifts, so I definitely encourage you to look at our website. Again, it's www.unitedwayatlanta.org. And get involved, because that's the one thing that's going to really make a difference and change lives and really move the needle so that Atlanta is a place where all individuals can thrive.
How would we get in contact with you personally, Carl, if we just wanted to send you an email or reach out to you? I know you're on Twitter, you're on LinkedIn. Right. What's your personal email address?
You can use Carl. You can use K Jennings, that's KJENNINGS, at UnitedWayAtlanta.org, and that's Carl with a K. So KJENNINGS at UnitedWayAtlanta.org.
And a phone number?
It is 404-527-2700.
And that's for the great Carl Jennings.
Thank you so much.
Ms. Blaylock, what would you like to add before we close?
Just thank you for having us on the show, Ricky. I think the more people that really know and understand about the needs, people are pretty willing to give. And Atlanta's a very generous community, but I don't think they always know how or where. And I don't think they're as aware of the needs as they are. So thank you. This is a real gift to have this opportunity to be on your show and talk about the needs and to try to encourage people to come and participate with us. Thank you.
Well, you're on Twitter as well, so I can find you at Becky_Blaylock or at Becky_Blaylock. You have a website, BeckyBlaylock.com. And if they wanted to contact you by email, how would be the best way for someone to do that?
The best way to contact me, there's a place on the website, and it goes directly to my email.
So go to BeckyBlaylock.com and find out all the information and contact Becky directly if you want to talk to her. And if you're a big corporation listening, I would quickly recommend you to consider Becky for a speaking engagement to engage and empower your own folks and to give a chance for them to pick up a copy of the book as well. So thank you for all you're doing in the community, Carl. It's a blessing to have you as part of our Atlanta community now. And even though you're not a native of here, neither was Milton Little, who runs the United Way, but he's actually a Morehouse man. But Milton's done a heck of a job in making the United Way in Atlanta such a powerful organization, top three in the country. And I think you're going to have a tremendous impact upon our city. And Becky, I can't say enough about you. I love you. And
I love you too, Ricky.
It's been just such an honor to have you in my life and just get to know you and watch a leader in your position, how much you give your time and your energy to make the community a better place. And I'm in awe, as you
well it's
know.
What energizes me.
Well, you energize everyone. Thank you all very much. It's been a great fun time being with you, and I look forward to being with you on October 16th, where we celebrate with three powerful female CIOs and give an opportunity for those in the community to get to know the community even better and to contribute to a very valuable cause. This is Ricky Steele, and I finished my coffee in Booth 61. I hope you'll come back and join me for a fresh cup next Wednesday or listening to the past shows anytime at Booth 61 with Ricky Steele. I try to always close our time together by sharing a blessing for you, your family, and your business. And to kind of piggyback on what Carl said earlier, we are live today on September the 11th, and I just want to continue to remember those that lost their lives in 9/11. 12 years ago, and those that lost their lives in Benghazi last year on the 11th. God bless America. This blessing comes from the book of Numbers. May the Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Amen. Thank you for dropping by and join us next week for a fresh cup in Booth 61.